Welcome to Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights, a podcast by coaches for coaches. Our guests share their hard-won wisdom to help you grow your coaching business and create a life of success. So get ready to unlock the blueprints to your success.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode. I am thrilled that you are here joining us, and I am thrilled to have my amazing co-host, Doug, is here as well, Doug Kahn. And then we have an amazing guest. Her name is Amy Birch. Her company is called She's a CEO, and I love that. And
today's episode is sponsored by our Profit Clarity Masterclass, and we'll just keep this real. If tax season brings you anxiety, last-minute scrambling, or that pit in your stomach feeling, it's usually not because you're doing something wrong. It's because you don't have the right system or support. We have a free live masterclass coming up where we're going to talk about how to get organized, reduce stress, and feel more confident about your finances without doing most of the work yourself. So come join us. You can sign up free at lessmathmoremoney.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
She is a business coach, but for a specific type of business. So I'm excited to learn more about that. So welcome to the show, Amy. It's lovely to have you.
Thanks, Jean. That's lovely to be here.
Good stuff. So tell us a little bit about how you became a business coach and what type of business coach you
are. So I predominantly work with e-commerce businesses or even retail, but based in the product space. And I've had a long-winded journey to getting here, but I had my son young, 18, straight out of college, got married, had another baby, started a business, fell into starting a business actually, built an e-commerce brand that I sold when I was around 27 and had a successful exit from that, but I had to move countries as part of it. So moved from New Zealand to Australia with two young children. My marriage had just fallen over. And I went into a big corporate, probably through growing that business and in that corporate, just my imposter syndrome was through the roof. I thought everyone knew something I didn't. I thought it was because I ruined my life by having a baby young, all these narratives going through my head. And I think I wasted a lot of time and a lot of energy trying to prove myself when I was already proving myself. And I like to say I had a lot to prove to everyone else, but it was probably to myself. And in that corporate, I had a really awful experience with a leader where I never knew where I stood, like on eggshells, just she would send a Skype message. This is showing how long ago it was. My stomach would drop and I would be like, oh. And sometimes it would be like, hey, let's have coffee. And other times she would just like verbally abuse you for a mistake or because she didn't know something. And it was just that awful walking on eggshells experience, which I realized I started to replicate to my staff, and I was leading that way. And so when I eventually left, because my son was starting high school, I was traveling like 20 weeks a year, and I was like, this is not sustainable. I really made the conscious decision to not put myself in a position where someone was treating me that way and to never treat staff that way. I never wanted to be responsible for making someone feel that way. And that led me down a journey of really delving into leadership and what's behind it and how to get the best out of your staff. And so since then, I have gone in to multiple businesses as like a COO. And so I'm directly impacting staff, and particularly in the startup space, because you're not going into a business that has HR structure and policies. You're actually building it all from scratch. And so I think the experience of people starting businesses and having to figure out how to lead when really they just like designing t-shirts or bikinis or shoes, and now they have to be responsible for bringing out the best in people as their idea takes off, is really challenging, as well as getting everything behind them that supports those people to succeed in their roles. And as I started to get a bit of a reputation within the organizations I was working with, people would be like, oh, you should talk to Amy, she could help you with that, when they would talk to other startups or young businesses or struggling entrepreneurs. And so my business just naturally evolved out of a recommendation to this person and that person. And so now I no longer build businesses. I help other women build their businesses.
I love that. What a journey. I totally can relate to the walking on eggshells and not knowing where you stood. It's such an awful place to be. How do you think you got over that imposter syndrome? Is it just plowing forward?
I was fortunate enough to build enough businesses in terms of whether they were my own or other people's. It was this dawning realization of no one knows what they're doing. And I realized that subconsciously in the back of my mind, I thought there was this well of knowledge that like everyone knew that was sitting around the boardroom table that I didn't. And if I just worked hard enough, I would get there. And so I did my MBA. I think I started in 2018, 2019. And as much as, and I thought that's what I needed, that would really help me. And what I realized was 80% of it, I knew it from experience. 10% of it was new and interesting, and 10% of it I would never need. And I was like, that was a $75,000 lesson that hurt. And I think that really helped me go, everyone's making it up. Like, we're all figuring it out. And that really helped me address that imposter syndrome.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And kudos to you for doing e-commerce. To me, that we work with online service providers, not e-commerce. I feel like that's a whole different world because you've got physical products and materials, and you've got to account for all of that. And then you've got to put it together, and then you've got to get it to where it's going. Wow.
Yeah. And I think with e-commerce, which is more common than service-based, especially online, is that you have physical teams in your presence. A lot of the service-based businesses have distributed teams and work from home and remote. With e-commerce, because there's physical products, you have physical in-house teams and HQs. And so there is that whole dynamic to...
That's good. I'm grateful for people like you, because people like me don't want to do that kind of thing. So tell us a little bit more about some of your clients. You mentioned bikinis and what was the other one?
T-shirts.
T-shirts, yeah. Are those the type of businesses you work with?
Yeah, so I do predominantly work in the fashion space, fashion, like apparel, footwear, jewelry. I have the odd cosmetics client as well, but most of my clients will, they don't come to me for sales and marketing. I'm the first to say that is not my strength. But I think $0 to $1 million in revenue for a product-based business is about establishing that there is demand for your product, that people want to buy it, that you can figure out how to sell to them and really understand that. What I tend to see happen between 1 to 3 million is that no matter what your marketing strategy is, whatever it is, you might have these spikes in sales. People get stuck around there. And this is because they do not have that experience of how to actually set the operational foundations up, which is everything from standard operating procedures to dashboards to just how to actually manage your business and know what's going on. So while they might have success with sales, they can't fulfill it very well and the team gets overwhelmed, and that has a roll-on effect that they'll upset customers and so then their sales drop down again. And that's often where my clients come to me. They'll have anywhere from 2 to 5 staff. They'll just be like overwhelmed, overworked, just why is this so hard? I thought when I hit $1 million in annual revenue, it would change everything, and it hasn't necessarily changed it for the better. So it's really where I specialize is helping people really understand how to lead a business, how to set up those operational foundations. And that is not them doing it all. That is teaching them how to work with their team to do it. And then really how to bring out the best in their team, whether it's 3 staff members or 13, how they can set them up to succeed. Because I am very firm believer that if you set your team up to succeed, your business will succeed as a byproduct versus trying to grow your business and having your team help you get there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great philosophy. And we do help people hire teams, but because they're online business owners, they're usually virtual teams, just like you said. They're not physically with you or in a physical establishment. So I should imagine it's almost a different way of teaching, because there's all that nonverbal communication that doesn't really happen just when you're meeting people on Zoom.
I think there's a lot of similarities in terms of the style of leadership that you need to have to bring out the best in your staff. But there is an added layer of dynamics that happen between the team, bumping to each other in the hallway, and who goes out for lunch with who, and just natural things that would happen in friendship groups and things. And a lot of it is like not reading too much into it and not thinking that everyone's thinking about you and all those things. So we work through everything. I've a client who was like 24 and running a $10 million business, hiring staff, and she's still learning how to be an adult, let alone manage the dynamics of adults that are older than her. Sometimes it's just having someone to bounce ideas off. That's not your mom, not your boyfriend, not your husband. That's always going to take your side, or you're not going to hear their feedback. It's someone to go, this is the situation. And I think one of the greatest compliments I ever got from a client was she goes, you just have a way of saying one thing that makes me go, oh, I've just been thinking about this the complete like wrong way. And she gets one sentence and you'll just change the way I work in my business. And I was like, that's great. Giving someone a perspective that helps them move forward is brilliant.
Sounds like you're exactly where you should be, doing exactly what you should be doing. So tell us a little more about your clients. You mentioned someone was a 20-year-old. Do they have a certain age? Is there a certain demographic? Is there a certain, you talked about fashion, but are there any other similarities or just?
To be honest, I have probably like my youngest client that I ever took on was 21. The oldest would be about 50. So I think the similarities are product-based business. It is they've just never run businesses before. That's probably the thing they have in common the most is that I love what I do, but I have no idea what I'm doing. And I have clients in Australia, New Zealand, the UK, America. So they're quite distributed. And because I'm not a meta specialist or I'm selling some way of selling, when it comes to team dynamics, operational foundations, there's slight nuances across countries, but not really. Like the fundamentals are the same because I just like to say I'm teaching the skills of leadership. I don't subscribe to the philosophy that you're a natural born leader. I think everyone can be a really great leader when they understand how to lead. And so my job is teaching people how to lead.
Yeah, and we always say when they're working in their unique ability, because people lead in different ways and you have to do it with your own style. And obviously, with how you feel you're moving the business forward and how you, as the owner, decide to move that. And I'll bet none of them think about that because they're just thinking, how do I get this thing together? Where do I find the materials? And where do I find enough of them?
That's the interesting thing. You just think more sales will solve everything. And I
Yeah.
think every business owner thinks that until
Yeah.
they realize there's a whole lot more to it.
A whole lot more to it. So let's talk about any of your clients. It could be a favorite client. You don't have to give us a name or anything, but maybe where they were when you started with them, and then where they were either are now or when they left your help.
One of my favorite clients, I shouldn't say that favorite, but one of my favorite stories is a client that I started working with in 2020. Really like small business, had just moved out of working from home, and she had two part-time staff members. She was doing about $500,000 in annual revenue. And I started working with her out of a recommendation because they just had this issue where the staff kept dispatching the wrong product to customers. So they were getting a lot of returns to send out the right product. Really simple issue. Went and chatted to her and her team. The order accuracy was like 75%. Within a week, we had the process in place and it's sat at 99.8% ever since. But it was one of those things where we helped with that. And then she was like, oh, could you help with this? And then I got into a role of coaching the founder. But because she was young and she had also hired young, she asked, which I have huge respect for, she asked for her staff to get some support as well, because they were all learning to grow this business and it was taking off very quickly. So I worked with her and some of her team as the business grew, and they grew really quickly to about $500,000, oh, not $500,000, $5 million in annual revenue over COVID, probably in about the space of 18 months. And so we really had to upscale the team quite quickly. And then from there, it just things actually started to take off. So for her, she went from figuring out how to have a couple of staff members to ending up with a team of 15 within the space of 2 years. So her leadership journey was astronomical in terms of everything from how to make business decisions at speed. She was young again. She was probably 24, 25 when I started working with her. And she's thinking, what do my staff think about me? Like even just things like that, helping her work through who she wants to be, what's her challenges, what are other people's challenges, and she doesn't have to worry about it. Building the business that she wants to build, not what everyone tells her she should do, because she was young. Everyone thought they had lots of great advice and wisdom to give her of how she should do it. And I think my role there was really to help her find her voice in doing it. And that business, like I stayed involved for for 4 years working through that, but they would now be doing about 75 million in annual revenue. So from a business that was doing 500,000 5-6 years ago, they're doing about 75 million now. So I'm incredibly proud whenever I see things. It's gone global. I see influencers and huge celebrities in it, and I'm just really proud to have had a small part in just helping her figure out her business and her leadership journey.
I love that. Oh, you gave me shivers. I love hearing all those success stories. It makes me so happy, especially women. She must have been absolutely thrilled to have you because, yeah, you're so young and you just don't know what you don't know. And you get started. And I can't imagine trying to build a staff during COVID where you've got masks and you've got distancing and all of those extra things to deal with. So that's amazing.
I think one of the things that I admire most about her and I talk to everyone about is she knew that she didn't know a lot. And she would say, I don't know. I would make a comment. I'd be like, yeah, that's BAU. And I could be sitting chatting with her and her whole team and she would go, what's BAU? And I'd be like, oh, business as usual. And she'd be like, okay. And I thought that was amazing because when I was her age, I was so busy trying to pretend like I had it all together and I'd go and Google like BAU afterwards because I'd hate to seem like I didn't know something because I thought I had to know it all. And so not only did she ask the question so she didn't spend the whole time going, I don't know what that means, she also set the example in front of her staff that if you don't know, ask the question and then we can like move through things really quickly. And I think that is a lesson that I learned from her in terms of, wow, that's so powerful. Just saying, I don't know, and carrying on. No one thought any less of her, or I would just admired her for learning, just continually being willing to learn. And
yeah, there might have been other people there who thought the same thing. I don't know what that means.
Correct.
But yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, I would think you have to find people too that are coachable, that want the help, that are willing to do what you tell them to do or what you encourage them to do because you've seen it and they haven't. So have you ever had like any kind of kickback or not?
Yeah, I think I have. I think a lot of people want a solution, but they don't necessarily want to do the work to get the solution. Especially in the day and age of like quick fixes. And I don't think in business there are quick fixes, especially around leadership. I can show you ways to do things as efficiently and effectively as possible, but you have to go and implement them. So I did work with one client and she was very much of the mindset of, I want to see the results next week. And I just think, if you want to build a sustainable business, not just profitable, but sustainable, that you can manage the growth, you don't burn your team out, you don't burn yourself out, you have to take the time to implement processes that work, systems that work. And so I think that is where I get kickback a lot of the time, is it's not fast enough. But this client, I think I worked with her for about 3 months and we implemented some things and she's, I'm not going to continue. This is not really working. And she did reach back out to me about 4 months later and go, look at what we've done with these metrics. I'm so pleased. I'm so sorry. I think it was because we implemented all of these things. It just took a little while to see, could I come back and work with you? And at the time my roster of clients was full and I was like, unfortunately, not right now. But eventually I did actually do another 6 months worth of work for her. So I think, you know, some of that is her, some of that is just, I think, the era in which we're in, where if you go onto social media, everyone's promising to fix something for you in 4 weeks or 6 weeks. It might take some time, 3 months or 6 months, but there'll be results that implemented and last in your business. And so I think that is probably the only place where I really struggle with people. But I don't want to teach like solutions that are quick and you then go through some growth and they no longer work. I'd rather teach you the skills so that as your business grows, you can iterate what you're doing to match the needs of the business.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, because we see all that marketing, make $10 million in 24 hours, just follow this system. And it's really given marketing a bad name. And it's frustrating to see, because then when you aren't that type of person, you've got to fight almost even harder to make people realize that I'm not that kind of person. Doug, do you have questions for Amy?
Is there a management leader in the industry that you look towards for, I would say guidance, but not necessarily having to know them, but where do you model? That would be very interesting to hear.
Do you know what? I wouldn't say there's one, but I obsessively consume a lot because I think in the industry that I specifically like the area in which I play, it's very different to what leadership books are built on, to what people speak on, because it's how to build, I'm talking about how to build your leadership skills, I guess, from scratch, how to build a team from scratch. I'm obsessed with Adam Grant. I think he is fantastic organizational psychologist. I took a lot from the book, How to Have Hard Conversations or Difficult Conversations, like some of those things. I just, but a lot of it is built for leaders at scale, for corporates. And so for me, I consume a lot and then go, even when I did my MBA, my favorite paper was a leadership paper. It was built for like big organizations. And so I was like, how do I digest that and what can I take from that? And that's what I think like my specialty is, how to learn the skills of leadership when you have a really small team, because some of it's not really doesn't apply if you're leading two people, but leading two people when you're building a business is just as important. And so for me, I would say I consume a lot to pull out nuggets that will work for my clients at that. Not necessarily, I wouldn't say it's because it's a smaller scale. It's just such a different dynamic because you're really face to face with every single person. You're not, and I have been the person that was tucked away in a boardroom at times, and I understand what it's like to not necessarily be in touch with all your staff. I think there's no one specifically that really plays in this area in terms of writers.
So that says to me, you are the one who needs to write the book. So I'm just going to leave that in your thought process.
Indeed. It also speaks to your comments about looking more strategically. You know, there may be two or three people now, but let's look at what it'll be when there's 20, and then when there's 100, and then when there's 1,000. And you probably, I would think, notice pretty quickly the people that have that mindset and are receptive to that kind of thinking.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you mentioned a couple of times SOPs, and we always say SOPs are not sexy, but they are so needed, and people don't want to make them because they're tedious. We do that a lot in our programs for our clients because, like I said, they don't want to do it and they don't really know how to do it. And so for me, it started with just a checklist. These are all the things that need to be done. And if I've missed one, then something's going to go wrong or I'm going to miss out on something. Yeah. You said you help your clients with those, didn't you?
I do. I'm a massive believer in having SOPs. The way I teach it with my clients, we always have metrics around how operations work. And I think for me, when it comes to team and leadership, if you don't have SOPs, it's very hard to hold staff to account. And you end up having a lot of conversations, which like, I feel like you're not really. Whereas if you have standard operating procedures and you can assess how people are performing against those, it makes managing staff or leading staff so much easier. And so for me, it's not just like about the unsexy stuff. I'm like, this is the stuff you do so that you can make your life really easy. And I agree, so many people push back against them. Probably the biggest challenge I see is people start them too late. So I'm always saying, wherever you are right now, it's a perfect place to start because imagine if you doubled tomorrow. How many more SOPs would you have to write, or how much more detailed would they be? So yeah, I am very keen for people to have good standard operating procedures to run their business.
Yeah, my business partner always says if it's something that has at least three steps and you do it at least three times, then you've got to write an SOP for it. So it's just a simple way to think, oh, yeah, I need to do that, even if it's once a month or whenever. So I love that. Amy, this has been so much fun and I have learned so much from you because, like I said, e-commerce is not my jam, but I love that there are people out there like you helping people. And I'm going to keep on you about that book that you need to write. Couple last questions. One is, I know there are people listening who are thinking or have small e-commerce businesses and want to grow and aren't sure how or how to handle a staff or how to find them. What is the best way for them to reach out to you?
Yeah, you can find me at www.she'sACEO.com or on Instagram at she'sACEO. And we can help find you a solution from there.
I love that. So last question I ask my our guests is, if you could provide one tip to make the world a better place, what would that be?
I think for me, it is leadership is service and service is leadership. How can you help other people to succeed? And when you do that, yeah, I feel like you'll always end up succeeding yourself.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's fantastic. Amy, thank you so much for joining us today. I can't imagine that people who are listening are frantically writing notes about what you've talked about. So we will have all your contact information in the show notes below so people can have a really easy way of finding you. So thank you for being here. Thank you, Doug, for being here. This has been so much fun.
Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it.
Thanks for joining us today on Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights. We hope you're leaving this episode with inspiration to take your coaching business and your life to the next level. If you found value in this episode, we would love it if you would subscribe and share it with someone else who you think might benefit from hearing it. Thanks, and we'll see you in the next episode.